This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The USDA's National Ag Statistics Service released its 2020 Prospective Plantings Report on Tuesday. NAS says U.S. corn and soybean plantings are expected to be 8 and 10% higher, respectively. Joe Vaklavic, president of Standard Grain in Nashville, Tennessee, said the biggest number in the report was the corn acreage.
I think the vast majority of traders and analysts believe that we'll never actually plant that many acres. We'll probably see some intended corn acreage switched to soybeans. Since those surveys were taken in the first couple weeks of March, we've seen a big movement in the spreads, corn versus soybeans, and the new crop prices in favor of soybeans. I think you'll see a little bit switched, but neither crop is really very profitable. There are not very many farmers in the country that can make money with beef corn at $3.49 and no beans at $8.63.
Vaklavic says commodities have a bigger issue than the predicted number of planted acres, and that issue is currently in the ethanol market.
I think this ethanol situation is by far the biggest problem in the corn market, and it probably doesn't help the other markets either. As a matter of fact, we saw the lowest weekly ethanol production number since August of 2013, and we saw ethanol stocks grow to a record high over 25 million barrels. We're going to run into a situation here where we're essentially going to max out ethanol storage in the United States. We're going to see production continue to slow down, and that represents 40% of your demand base for corn.
The future might be a little brighter for soybeans than corn.
I could paint you a friendly picture in the soybeans. I do believe China is going to come in and buy substantially more U.S. soybeans for new crop delivery this year than we've seen each of the last couple years. I think they'll at least make some sort of an attempt to hit these trade deal targets. It typically happens late spring, early summer, so it wouldn't be surprising to see China come in say May or June and start booking much larger amounts of new crop soybeans.
He also says those Chinese purchases will primarily be for new crop beans for delivery in October and November of this year. The quarterly grain stocks report showed the total amount of corn and soybeans in storage was down 8% and 20% respectively. Normally, that would be supportive to the market.
That would generally be supportive if we had a better demand base. Analysts are just chopping tremendous amounts of demand off of ethanol for corn. Exports and soybeans in regard to old crop. USDA made a mistake there, in my opinion. They increased their export projection, I think it was in February, and they bumped it up by 50 million bushels because of the trade deal. And I think that that was the wrong thing to do because China's really been largely absent from the old crop soybean market.
Again, that was Joe Vaklavic, president of Standard Grains. And when NAS tried to get farmers to see how many acres of corn they intended to plant, of course, that number was very big. In early March, farmers from across the country, all told, were thinking they would plant nearly 97 million acres of corn. The chief of the crops branch at USDA, Lance Honig, says it is a number that may or may not hold.
Well, you know, it just depends, and that's one of the tricky things about the March intentions. These are their intentions as of the first 2 weeks in March, but there truly are a lot of factors that can impact those decisions that actually get made. You know, we're talking about intentions before farmers in most places even get into the fields, much less start planting. There could be weather changes that happen. There could be shifts in the economic situation between crops that could have some impact. So it's really a year-by-year issue as to how much those intentions can change.
The next time the USDA will try to tally that change, if any, will be in the month of June. In other ag news here on your Thursday morning, a coalition of lawmakers is asking the Health and Human Services Department to provide immediate assistance to rural hospitals and clinics. In a letter to the Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, 122 lawmakers asked the Trump administration to provide financial aid included in the CARES Act to help rural hospitals during this COVID-19 outbreak. The legislation includes new funding to provide financial relief for hospitals. The lawmakers point out that many rural hospitals have ceased performing elective procedures and seeking non-urgent patients. Lawmakers say the rural hospitals know the COVID-19 emergency confronting the U.S. must take precedence. However, these actions threaten rural hospitals' financial viability. The letter states, quote, "We are hearing from rural hospitals from across the country that they have only days left of cash on hand, many needed for payroll and supplies. The lawmakers say, quote, now it's up to the administration to respond with rapid action to sustain rural providers, adding, quote, any unnecessary delay would only worsen the situation. In livestock news here on your Thursday, while COVID-19 is dominating the news, agriculture continues to monitor the global spread of African swine fever. Dr. David Pyburn, who is the Senior Vice President of Science and Technology for the National Pork Board, says new ASF cases continue to be reported in other parts of the world.
What we've had in the last week is we've seen another country, Papua New Guinea, another Asian country that reported their first positive for ASF. So we've got another country to add to the list of positive countries. And that also moves it ever closer to Australia, where they have a fairly significant swine population, and a number of those are outside. So I know this was not good news for Australia, for sure. We've also seen in the western part of Poland, you know, we've had that area in the western part of Poland for several months now where we've seen just positive feral swine, wild swine, had not found it on any of the domestic farms in that area. Well, that's not true anymore. Here in the last couple of weeks, they found a domestic farm of really pretty good size. I think it was like a 6,000 or 7,000 sow herd go positive in that western Poland area.
Pyburn has been discussing coronavirus and ASF with a veterinary colleague in China.
He said that nothing's really changed. It continues to use his word. It continues to explode in China. He continues to see outbreaks. He thinks a number of the outbreaks that he's seeing for African swine fever now in China are most likely related to illegal vaccines and illegal vaccine use, and they're actually causing disease.
In tomorrow's Pork Checkoff report, Pyburn will offer more insight into African swine fever. And in other news from the pork industry, for the second straight year, the National Pork Producers Council has canceled the World Pork Expo. Canceled last year to avoid the spread of African swine fever, this year's event is one of many interrupted by the global COVID-19 pandemic. NPPC announced the cancellation earlier this week due to COVID-19's human health concerns. NPPC President Howard A.V. Roth says while disappointing, canceling this event allows, quote, producers and others across the industry to focus on the essential role we play in the nation's food supply system at this critical time. Roth says NPPC will, quote, do our part to support the nation's transition back to normalcy and look forward to making next year's World Pork Expo better than ever. World Pork Expo is the world's largest pork-specific trade show, where more than 20,000 industry professionals gather for 3 days to showcase innovations, introduce new products, and participate in training and educational programs. World Pork Expo 2021 is scheduled for June 9th through the 11th at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. Moving on now to dairy. Dean Foods announced Tuesday that Dairy Farmers of America was the winning bidder to acquire a substantial portion of Dean Foods' business operations. In a statement, Dean Foods says, quote, we ran a competitive auction process and are pleased to have reached these agreements. The two previously reached an agreement back in February before withdrawing the plan to favor a competitive bidding process. DFA will acquire the assets, rights, interests, and properties relating to 44 of the company's fluid and frozen facilities for $433 million. And in addition, as part of the court-supervised sale process, Dean Foods has designated Prairie Farms Dairy as the winner of the assets, rights, interests, and properties relating to 8 additional facilities, 2 distribution branches, and certain other assets for $75 million in cash. Moving on now to State Ag News here for your Thursday. State Farm Bureaus are teaming up on a joint letter lobbying for a quick release of the stimulus funding for agriculture. Illinois Farm Bureau's Mark Gebhardt says immediate help is needed, especially on the livestock side.
That will go to Secretary Perdue, basically focusing on the need to move as quickly as possible with the $9.5 billion of discretionary funds that he was allotted as part of the stimulus package that was signed by the president. We know the cattle market, along with the dairy folks and even the pork folks are certainly being challenged. And this letter is a letter that, again, is from the State Farm Bureaus and is asking for Secretary Perdue basically to move as quickly as possible to get some assistance to them. So what that shape that takes and what details those are remains to be seen.
Gebhardt says an effort is also underway requesting that farmers be eligible for Small Business Administration emergency loans as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. And an extended run of dry weather might be tough to find this month of April. That's reported by Freeze Notice Ag meteorologist Dan Hicks.
Well, I think temperature-wise, it looks warmer than normal. I think that we just can't sustain any below-normal temperatures going back all the way into the wintertime, and I think that trend is going to continue into the middle part of April. So most days will be warmer than normal, and the positive side of that is that it will evaporate a little bit more moisture than if we have normal temperatures. Now, regarding precipitation, again, as you mentioned, the next statewide chance coming up Friday and Saturday, it doesn't appear to be a big rain event, probably some quarter to three-quarter inch amounts. Most areas will have a little bit of dry weather after that, but what I don't see through the middle part of April is an extended period of dry weather. I don't see much opportunity where we could get as much as 7 or 8 days of dry weather. I think rainfall will come on a fairly regular basis. It won't all be heavy, but it probably will keep fields generally a little wetter than normal into the middle part of April. So I would think that in many parts of Illinois and the Midwest, rapid increase in field work may tend to be a little bit on the slow side still into the middle part of the month.
Again, that was Freeze Noticed Ag meteorologist Dan Hicks. Moving on now into local ag news. As the coronavirus outbreak is seeming to have an impact on almost everything around the country, agriculture has been one of them. But many ag businesses here in mid-Illinois are still continuing with their operations, despite many other businesses across Illinois being closed. In a recent media panel discussion, Farm Bureau managers Katie Wilson of Montgomery County and Melissa McMillan of Christian County gave reports on their respective counties as it comes to ag retailers and their current protocols when it comes to COVID-19. To start, we'll join Farm Bureau manager of Montgomery County, Katie Wilson.
I thought I'd start off with the current status of our office. We are closed to the public. Still operating as normal as we can. I have phones transferred to my cell phone, so if calls come in the office, I can still answer those. And right now, we're closed until April 7th, and we are just waiting to see if the governor extends that shelter-in-place deadline. I did have the opportunity to visit with several ag retailers in the county, and I just wanted to throw out kind of a blanket statement for all of them to start with, is that they are still operating and they are still caring for farmers' needs. They just might be operating a little bit differently than normal. So my first piece of advice, if you're a farmer or someone who needs to buy a product or need something delivered to your farm, call them first. Most likely they are still operating. Their office is just closed to the public. So with that being said, I will list off some specific examples of businesses that I either called and talked to directly or emailed, had some sort of communication. I will start off with M&M Service Company. At all of their locations, their doors are locked to the public, but they do encourage that you call them or email them. They are still providing all of the services that they normally do. You just are unable to go inside of their businesses. And if you have concerns about what happens if an employee gets sick and then they have to shut down and there's no one available to work, I'll put your worries at ease. They are having their employees work in two separate shifts and rotating. So in case that would happen, they would hopefully still have one full shift of workers to provide the services that you need. Move on to Sloan Implement Company. They are also not allowing customers inside their building, but you can still come and pick up parts or equipment that they have. They just ask that you call ahead, and they will bring those outside to you. Farmers Grain in Litchfield and Fillmore, they are closed to the public, but if you need animal feed, if you need to pick up a check or something else, give them a call, and they will work with you and make that happen. Miller Brothers Fertilizer, closed to the public as well, but they do have a walk-up window available, so you could actually go to their location and conduct business. It would just be through a window. Deliveries of chemicals are still operating as normal, and they said most of their suppliers are still open, so no worries there. Sarles Farm Supply in Raymond, business as usual. They don't have a lot of foot traffic. They are still moving grain, so things are still operating there. And then lastly, I visited with Seavers Equipment Company, and they are also closed to walk-in customers, but their parts departments will deliver parts to your vehicle when you arrive, or they'll set parts outside for you. They just ask that you call ahead and then call when you actually get to the location. New and used equipment sales can be handled over the phone or via email, and you can see what they have available online at SeaversEquipmentCompany.com. And they are still having service on pieces of farm machinery in their shops. Those are continuing uninterrupted. You can call the service department if you have questions or would need assistance. And they do ask that if someone needs to make a visit to a farm, that you respect the social distancing guidelines of at least 6 feet. So while it might be normal to shake someone's hand or have a, you know, candid conversation with them, they do ask that you respect that 6 feet.
And with the report from Christian County, we join Farm Bureau Manager Melissa McMillan.
Christian County Farm Bureau, we are closed to walk-in traffic. We are working remotely, and phone calls are being sent to my cell phone as well. I'm going to also throw my cell phone number out there for members that do still need assistance, which is 815-440-0789. To reiterate what Katie said, the Christian County Ag Companies are still operating. They're working for our farmers, and the majority of them are also asking that you call first. A list of companies that I have here in Christian County is Jenner Ag. I'll start with them. All locations for Jenner are closed to walk-in traffic. Service continues both in the fields and in their shop throughout the spring, planting, and beyond. You may reach the technicians by phone or email. In event that a field service technician does visit your location, whether ag, retail, or farm, they ask that you follow the social distancing requirements of maintaining more than 6 feet of space from that person. They do have parts curbside pickup. It's available during regular hours. If you aren't comfortable with someone picking up or coming to your vehicle, inform the parts specialist, and they'll put your parts outside the door for you on a table. You can also find used and new equipment inventory online at jennerag.com. The Morrisonville Grain Co-op employee-only policy in both Morrisonville and Harville locations. Contact them by phone or email for check paperwork pickup or any other information that you may need. They will bring this information out to you in your car, or they can send it to you via email or old-fashioned snail mail. Truck drivers, they're asking that you remain in your trucks at all times, including unloading and loading. Sloan Implements, their 22 locations are now working behind locked doors and will be open for normal business hours. The Christian County Farmer Supply, all facilities are closed to public except to receive deliveries and load product to customers. Salesman's contact with customers should be limited to phone, email, and text. The Taylorville Fast App has stopped preparing fresh foods, and operation inside is at reduced hours to reduce staffing needs and their potential exposure to the public. ADM locations, they're maintaining continuity in the entire ag supply chain is now essential more than ever to ensure people continue to have access to nutrition they need. They are taking necessary precautions throughout their businesses, implementing a minimal staff model at their global offices and facilities, with all employees who are able to work remotely are doing so. They are also actively screening all visitors, including delivery drivers, for COVID-19 symptoms. Assumption Grain Cooperative locations, starting March 18th, they're restricting company offices to employees only. Please contact them by phone if you wish to conduct business. They are also asking truck drivers to stay in place while loading and unloading. And finally, Legacy Grain Cooperative locations. You can conduct business over the phone. Please do so. And if you've been a sick or around anyone sick, they're asking you not to come to their offices or get near any of their employees. Those are the ag businesses and companies I have for Christian County.
And again, that was Katie Wilson, Farm Bureau Manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau, and Melissa McMillan, Farm Bureau Manager of Christian County. And that's all I have for you on this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, April 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.